A year ago, this past August, my little family and I rolled into Connecticut, specifically Old Lyme. We had traveled 3,000 miles from Portland, Oregon. The subject of this move comes up for me a lot. I was at the CVS the other day getting a prescription, and I told the clerk, "Hey, will you delete my Portland, Oregon address and put in my old Lyme address?" And he looked at me with distress and disgust, and he said, "You moved here?" And I took a breath, and I thought, I have never met so many people that live in a state but say they hate living in that state. What's up, Connecticut? I tell them, well, you know, we had been there for 14 years, and my kid needed some educational options, and we have family here that we needed to come and be with. And those things are all true, but there's one thing that I didn't say. And I didn't say it because it's not the kind of thing you say in a CVS. And it's actually not the kind of thing you say when you're making a new friend either. And that is that while I loved Portland, I think that I was close to dying there. You see, in Portland, I worked a high-stress professional job for state government. I did amazing things. I helped protect infants and children from exposure to lead in drinking water. I worked with our Department of Education to help address student chronic absenteeism. My work mattered. And things were going good for me. I had a colleague, really a friend, who was becoming my boss. And this turned out to be a disaster for me. You see, as my boss, she would do things like congratulate me on accomplishing something really big and really complicated, and then sending me an appointment for 30 minutes to, quote unquote, go over timesheet procedures because I had recorded some hours that had not been previously approved. She also did things related to monitoring. "Hey, Isabel, thanks for running that meeting over on the other side of the state. But hey, I need you to log into the system so that I know what you're doing and where you are at all times." I pushed back on this. I could feel the heat rising to my face. And I said, "Why do I need to log in when I've told you where I'm going to be?" The response, "You just do." I have to say that all of this monitoring, and there were protocols and procedures that came in place all around this as well, was really triggering for me. I've had abusive people in my life try to know where I am at all times. My dad, that one ex-boyfriend in college that would show up everywhere that I was. Also, the 2016 presidential election was in full swing. And we were hearing people talk about grabbing other people by the pussy. Watching the GOP candidate stalk behind Hillary Clinton reminded me of being 16 in my first job in a restaurant kitchen, trying to figure out how I was going to chop vegetables without getting felt up. In my current job, I decided I would just outthink this. I was going to be a spy on a clandestine mission. I was saving the work that would die in my agency and making sure that good things could happen. The government could do good things. I was going to be a ninja warrior. My colleagues would come up from other floors and they would say, "Hey, we're so glad that you're up here doing this, helping us, but we don't know how you're doing it." And truthfully, I was not doing it terribly well. The whole ninja persona had not panned out for me. And I was starting to realize that when I walked into meetings with my boss, I got really hot and my arms became numb. And I started to realize that because I didn't want to get a talking to about leaving my cubicle, I had stopped leaving my cubicle. And at the same time, my thoughts started to get darker and I started to have problems remembering things. So, some time passed
with things as they were. And soon the mantra began. I would wake up with the feeling of a cinder block on my chest every morning. Be a good wife, be a good mother, work hard. Fall came and the sky turned slate gray and the cold rain fell. And I started to cry every day. Be a good wife, be a good mother, work hard. I tried to find another job. I knew I needed to get out. And I got really close, but they went with other folks. Be a good wife, be a good mother, work hard. And then the summer came and the West was on fire. And I couldn't breathe, my asthma was so bad. Be a good wife, be a good mother, work hard. I was getting treatment for my asthma, and I needed to have a follow-up call with my doctor, Dr. Cho. And so I did the really embarrassing thing that you need to do when you're a middle-aged professional, and that is I asked my boss for 15 minutes of personal time to take a phone call. My request was approved. I left my cubicle, and I drove to a residential Portland street, and the leaves were still green when I received the call. Hi, Isabel, how you doing? How you feeling? And I just sobbed, and it all came out. I had had trouble eating, trouble sleeping, my numb arms, my hot face, my dark thoughts. And she said, you need to take some time off of work. I said, I don't feel safe asking for that. Well, that's fine. I'm going to write you a letter. You're going to take 2 weeks of medical leave and you can give this letter to your HR office. What's wrong with me? You have severe depression. She elaborated. I think the panic is making your asthma worse. I don't have panic attacks. She spoke carefully. Not attacks, just your baseline has become panic. Oh. It was 13 weeks before I went back to work. I went to an outpatient psychiatric group program, and I can tell you it is the most honest room I have ever been in. Everybody already knows that if you're in that room, your life has gone to shit. There was a woman I was friendly with there. She had gotten out of a mental hospital recently, and she still had her medical ID bracelet on. Her hair was growing back from where it had been shaved. And she was talking about her partner wanting her to act better, be normal. And I heard myself blurt out, you need to find your inner bitch. 12 faces looked directly at me. I elaborated. You're really strong and you don't need this pressure. You need to find your inner bitch. I followed up with, what would Beyonce do? And her face just cracked into a big smile and she started to crack up, as did the room. And I realized, I can do good things here. I just need to figure out how to do them in this life. My sweet husband had a similar idea. I was at home and I was getting something from the tub freezer and I heard him say, we could go to Connecticut. My parents would be so excited. They would help us. And we could find a mortgage where we could just use my salary. And you could take a break. And I took my head out of the cold darkness of that freezer. And I looked at him. Tears were spilling down my face. And I said, yes. And so we did. We did all of the difficult, nearly impossible feeling things that you need to do to uproot a family from a life, a home, a town that they had been in for 14 years. And so when people ask me why I've come to Connecticut, I'll tell them about my in-laws and I'll tell them about my kids' school needs, but I'll never tell them that it's because I chose me.